Happy to be joined now by Stephen Moore. He's an economist for the Heritage Foundation, and he's been advising the White House on tax reform. And Steve, it's nice to have you back here on Mornings on the Mall. I want to ask you about what the latest is. When can we expect to actually see a bill?
Well, hi, Mary and Vincent. I think I'm feeling very good about things. I mean, we cleared another big hurdle yesterday when the House passed the budget. So now the money has been allocated for this this tax cut. The Ways and Means Committee right now, which, as we all know, the Constitution says the tax bills have to start in the House. So they're going to put out a bill sometime in, I think, the next week or so. We'll have the actual language of this legislation. And by the way, I've got to say, the one thing I'm very frustrated with Republicans about is here we are, what is this, almost the end of October, and we still don't even have a bill out of Congress. They should have had this done in April, not October. But I do think, look, this is going to be a tax cut for 99% of the people who are listening to this show. And I believe it's going to be signed into law on Christmas Eve of this year, and it's going to be the best Christmas present people have had in a long, long time since Reagan was president.
Bob Corker has been fighting with the president of the United States. He's basically telling the president to stay out of this debate now and let Congress handle it. Also, he's concerned that this tax bill could add to the deficit. What do you make of his concerns?
Well, you know, I think it's bad advice for one thing. You know, that's exactly what the Republicans in Congress told Donald Trump on Obamacare repeal. Just, Mr. President, just let us do it. You stay out of it, and you can see where that ended up in a ditch. And that can't happen on this. I think this is an existential moment for the Republican Party. They absolutely have to get this done this year. And now I think that. What was your quote about the deficit? Look, you got to grow the economy. You got to get this bill will put millions of people into jobs. It will increase wages and salaries, we estimate, by about $4,000 for the average person listening to the show over the next 4 or 5 years. I mean, that's a big pay raise for people. And if people are making more money, if you bring businesses back from Ireland and Canada and Mexico and China back to the United States, guess what? They start paying taxes here, not over there. I think in the long run, this is going to reduce our debt burden. I think it is going to create a lot of jobs. And Americans haven't had a tax cut for 25 years. It's about time they got one.
Yeah, our mutual friend Larry Kudlow has a beef with all of this concern about the deficit as they formulate this in terms of meeting the requirements of reconciliation. At its core, his concern is like, look, who cares if the parliamentarian approves of this? The vice president of the United States, Mike Pence, as the presiding officer, can overrule the parliamentarian. Are you for that?
Well, I don't think that's necessary. All they have to do is assume that we're going to get 3% economic growth from this tax plan. And by the way, I remember, you know, 9 months ago, a year ago, when I was working for the Trump campaign, and I would debate these liberals. They say Donald Trump is lying to the American people when he says he can get the economy growing at 3%. He's a big fat liar. He lies about everything. Well, guess what? The economy's already growing at 3%. He's only been in office for 9 months, and we haven't passed the tax cut yet. This tax cut, I believe, and I think a lot of very distinguished economists agree, can increase our economic growth rate easily to 3%. And if you get 3% economic growth, guess what? That leads to $1 or 2 trillion more revenues over the next 10 years. So
right.
That's the money that has to be used then to get these tax rates lower. I want to make this point because I think it's so important, because most Americans don't understand this, that we do have the highest tax rates on our businesses of any country in the world. And Trump is right. The rest of the world's laughing at us. I guarantee you, Vince, if we bring these tax rates down from 40% down to 20%, you're going to see a flood of new capital, new jobs.
Yeah, that'll make us more competitive than like 24 other countries or so. Here's Mary.
Yeah, Steve, 20 Republican House members voted against the Senate budget proposal yesterday.
Yep.
More than half of them, 11 of them, were from New York and New Jersey because they're afraid their constituents aren't going to be able to deduct their state and local taxes, which in many cases, you're talking more than $20,000 because they're high tax states. How do you get them on board?
First of all, the most unjust provision in the IRS tax code is the allowance of people to deduct their state and local taxes from their federal taxes. It is completely unfair to people who live in Texas, Florida, Utah, Arizona, New Hampshire, and states like that have very low taxes. Why should people in Texas and Tennessee and Utah subsidize the flabby government they have in Albany, New York, or Sacramento, California? It's outrageous. I mean, there's zero income tax in Texas and Florida, and they charge 13.5% in California and New York. And by the way, there is no way in hell that California and New York get away with charging 13.5% income tax to their citizens, except for the fact that those people get to deduct 40% of it. So the federal taxpayers is subsidizing 40% of the fat, flabby government in those states. I believe what's going to happen at the end of the day, Mary, you heard it first here on WMAL, I think this provision will only apply to people in the top 1% of income. So 99% of people will not even be affected by this.
Wait.
But the richest 1% will be. And you know what? If they don't cut their taxes in New York and California, and you don't move out of that state, then you're an idiot.
Okay, so let's just get this straight. The current negotiations include discussions of taking away the state and local tax deduction only for people in the top 1%.
Well, what I'm saying is that's where it's going to end up. This is one of the things that they're considering, and I think I've been to this rodeo before. I know how this is going to turn out. If they get rid of the state and local tax deduction, it will only apply to people who make over, like, say, $500,000 or $1 million a year. By the way, the liberals are so hypocritical about this. The vast majority of the benefit of this deduction, the mortgage deduction, the charitable deduction, all of those deductions, the vast majority of the people who take advantage of that are rich people. Only one out of three tax filers today even itemizes their deduction. And don't forget, Mary, because this is a great question you asked me, under the Trump plan, we double the standard deduction. Did you know that, Mary?
If you're paying $20,000 that you're currently deducting, let's use that as a number, because let's say, because in those states, to be middle class, you're probably upper middle class in other states, so you're paying about $20,000 in state and local taxes deducting. If you tell them, but now you can deduct $4,000, it doesn't make it up.
Hold on, Mary. What's the $20,000? I want to make sure I understand what you're saying. What's this $20,000?
Well, state and local taxes. Look at New Jersey has the highest property taxes in the country.
Well,
people there.
Somebody live in New Jersey, then.
But here's the thing. Isn't our tax code inherently unfair? Why do people who don't have children subsidize other people that have children? So it's an inherently unfair tax system. We subsidize certain activities, certain behaviors in order to get votes. That's what people do. That's what politicians do.
Mary, the whole point of tax reform is to get the government out of the business of subsidizing this and not subsidizing that. We want a low tax rate system where everybody's paying their fair share. I'll tell you another injustice that we should start talking about as conservatives. Did you see what happened last week where George Soros took an $18 billion write-off, the single biggest tax loophole in the history of America, $18 billion that he's going to give to left-wing organizations through his massive family foundation, and that is money that's never been taxed. That's not fair either.
Okay.
I want low tax rates, but I want everybody to pay that rate. And right now,
yes,
that's not happening.
I'm just saying, people who are not paying anything should have to pay.
Steve, we've got like literally 10 seconds for this answer. Okay. Are 401ks still on the table in this negotiation?
No. Anybody with a 401k plan, don't worry that this is just a liberal fiction. We are not getting rid of the deduction of 401ks. Your 401ks are fine. 55 million people have 401ks.
Will you lower the contribution limits?
Maybe slightly, but not by 90%. Maybe just by a tiny amount.
Steve
but
Moore.
I love 401ks. I love 401ks.
I know you do. Steve
so
Moore,
much to talk
thank
about.
You so much. This guy's actively involved, which is why we have so many questions.
All right.
Really appreciate it, sir.